What if it were today? And what a wonderful Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. Amen. That's why he's coming. We're so thankful for that all power is given unto him. Amen. And he's coming to reign. And I hope you look forward to the day he reigns. Amen. He desires to rule and reign in our hearts today. But he's going to one day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What if it were today? Satan's dominion will then be o'er. Amen. I don't know about that, but that just thrilled my heart this morning. I'm tired of Satan's dominion. I'm tired of all that, you know, the devil's continual attack and the temptation and the fighting among the brethren and the world and how it just keeps, you know, just keeps coming and just keeps coming and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And you think, could it get any worse? And then you think, yeah, they're going to legalize this and this is going to be, you know, what's right. And it's sin. I say, how could we be here? But Satan's dominion will one day be o'er. Amen. What if it were today? What a day. Sorrow, sighing, pain, hurt. What if it were today? Then the dead in Christ shall rise, caught up to meet him in the skies. When shall these glories meet our eyes? Oh, what if it were today? And as we've been preaching and talking about, we look forward to that day, don't we? But we can have a taste of it even now. God desires we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. And that we don't have to face what this world is throwing at us. We don't have to face what, you know, everything that's happening alone. Because there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so, you know, we don't have to sorrow the same way. We don't have, you know, though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. God's with us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to hurt the same ways. We can have peace even in the midst of the storm because Jesus is on the boat with us. Amen. And at any moment he can say, peace be still, and the storm will cease. And he desires, if we'll allow him to, for him to say, peace be still in our heart. We'll have peace. And so though we do live in Satan's dominion, and this world will continue to rage, and sin will continue to be pushed forward as right, we can have peace. We can have all things new because we're not living in the old man anymore. We're not walking in the flesh, but instead we're walking in the Spirit. And I hope that's your desire this morning. That's what we've been talking about. You know, the desire to have all things new. I want to have all things new. I really do. But it's not going to happen on accident, and it's not going to happen all the time unless we are continually walking in the Spirit. God desires to make all things new, but we got to allow him to do it. Do you really want God to work a miracle in your life this morning? Do you really want to see God work in your family and in your church? If it's something you really want to happen, then you're going to have to allow him to come in and make the changes that are necessary. Otherwise, we will be stuck in the same traps and in the same routines of the same environments that we had last year. And guess what? We'll end up 2018 just like we ended 2017, wishing, hoping, desiring for more, but you just keep doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. And folks, it's not going to happen. You have to allow God to come in and make things new. That's what he wants to do. That's what he desires to do. But will we allow him to do the work? And if we will, I have complete faith that God's going to do something amazing. If we'll allow him to just have complete rule and reign in our life, just like one day he'll have complete rule and reign, and all things will be new. If we'll allow him to have complete reign in our life, guess what? He'll make things new. He'll make things new. We're going to have to determine to follow him. Tonight I'm going to preach a message on time. I hope you come back tonight. But I'm just going to give you a little taste of it this morning because it applies so well to the message this morning. You know that we all have 24 hours in a day? We all have the exact same amount of time. Isn't it interesting that you look at different people and you see how they have, seems like, so much more time? You ever think that before? You say, look at, you know, all that person is able to accomplish. Maybe it's a pastor, or maybe it's a business person, or whoever it might be. And you say, wow, you know, they have a family just like I have a family. Maybe they have young kids just like I have young kids. They go to church just like I go to church, but yet they're involved in ministry, and maybe I'm not. And I see them at, you know, they're always busy, but how do they, you know, it seems like they get so much done. How is it that they do it? We all have 24 hours in a day. Can I give you something? I stole it, okay? So I'm going to give it the way they said it, all right? Can I give you a life hack? Do you know what a life hack is? So it's a way of thinking about something, or a system that you're a way of thinking, or a system that you implement that changes the way you live your life for the better. Okay, that's a life hack. I know it's a bit of a new way of putting it. Okay, but that's what they call it—a life hack. Okay, can I give you a life hack? For time. We need to stop saying, I don't have time. We all have the same amount of time. So, someone says, can you help me with this? Sorry, I don't have time. That could be the truth. But we all have the same amount of time. And God has given all of us the same task. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you're a child of God, we've all had the same task and we all have the same amount of time. So we need to stop saying, I don't have time, but instead, in our inside voice, so not out loud, we need to say, I didn't make time. We need to stop saying, I don't have time. And inside, we need to say, I didn't make time. Because that's the truth. We make time for things that are important to us. And we would say, and I'm so glad you're here this morning because you've made time for God this morning. And so we would, those that know Christ as their Savior, those that are Christians, those, I hope you're here this morning and this is the truth because you have made time for God. You believe that God is important. Christianity is important. Serving the Lord is important. And so we have to, often we would say, well, I just don't have time. We got to stop saying that. We all have the same amount of time. God has given us the same work to do. So instead we need to say, I didn't make time. And if it's for something that we think and know to be important, then we need to change how we use our time. If it's for God, then and we know that this is important, then we say, I got to make time. I got to stop saying, and that's a good excuse. I don't have time, but it's not sufficient. God has all given us the same amount of time, and he's given us all the same task. And so we need to make time for what God is directing us to do. Whether it be for your family, say, I don't have time because how are we using our time? Say, I didn't make time. Or for whatever it is. What's most important, we need to make sure we are making time for. Come back tonight. We're going to talk more about it, but it's going to apply so well to our message this morning. This morning, I want us to focus on developing a new environment to thrive. Developing a new environment to thrive. A new environment to thrive is the title. Don't you want to thrive in 2018? Don't you want to, as a Christian, don't you want to get to know God in a greater way? Don't you want to him to be able to use you in a greater way? Don't you want that God would have his will and his way in your life in a greater way? I want to thrive. I don't want to just go through the motions, aren't you? I'm tired of just going through the motions and just going through and just, oh, we just got to, you know what we need to do? Let God change the environment that we're in. Let Him develop the right environment that we might thrive. We're going to look through the book of Luke this morning. Turn to Luke chapter, let me find it here for you. Luke chapter 5. Turn to Luke chapter 5 if you would. And this morning we're just going to pick out some verses from Luke and through Scripture and see the environment that we find Jesus Christ in. Could we say that Jesus Christ is the best example? Did He thrive, you know, in His ministry? I want to thrive in my ministry as I serve the Lord. And we find Him in certain places throughout the Bible. And quite a few times it's from the book of Luke. And we see Him serving God in this amazing way. And so I think that should be our desire. But we find Him in a couple different places. And I want to share those places with you this morning that we might have and allow God to develop and give us the right environment that we're serving Him, that we might thrive as Christ did. So these three environments, real quickly this morning. Can I say, first of all, we find Jesus quite often at the table. Some Baptists are happy about that. Amen. Say, yeah, we find Jesus quite often in Scripture at the table. So that gives us opportunity. Can I tell you further what I mean? So this table time. Table, speaking of relational connection. Relational connection. Why was Jesus found so often at the table? Because He desired to have a relationship or a connection. And first of all, with God. He desired to have a relationship and connection with God. For anyone to thrive, they must have a relationship with God. Can I ask you this morning, how is your relationship with God? If you're going to thrive as a believer, if you're going to thrive as a Christian, you must have a relationship with God. Do you know that God created all mankind to have a relational connection to Him? We're created this way. God has created us to have this relational connection with Him at all times. Look at in the Garden of Eden. What did Adam and Eve do? They walked with God. How's your relationship with God? Do you know God this morning? Do you have a relationship with God? God's created all of us to have a relationship with Him. Or do you feel like something's missing? Do you feel like something's missing? Often, you know, if we were to go around to people in this world today, because we were designed to have a relational connection with God. People that don't, they will tell you something's missing. Don't we have so much? In fact, we have so much, we have two of everything. I was thinking about, we may have two cars. You know, you have two phones. You have two TVs. Don't even get me started with shoes and with purses and coats, you know. But we have one of everything, but now we're to the point where we have two of everything and even more of that. And I'm no better with shoes. I have lots of shoes. I have running shoes. I have basketball shoes. I have winter running shoes or trail running shoes. I have, you know, I have work running shoes. I have dress shoes, but I have, you know, brown dress shoes and I have black dress shoes. And I still haven't thrown out my old black dress shoes, you know. Maybe you're like, well, they're, you know, still good for the odd time, you know. We don't have one of everything, but we have two of everything. But yet, if you ask people, is there something missing, though we have everything, they'll say that there is. And can I tell you what's missing? A relationship with God. Amen. We were created to have a relationship with God. And if we don't have a relationship with God, we will never fill the void that is in our life. As Pascal said, the infinite abyss that only God could fill in the human soul. Luke chapter 5. If Christ had, as a man, If he had to have a relationship with God, can I tell you that we do too? We do too. If we're going to thrive, we need a relationship with God. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. I just want to show you. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Let's pause there for a second. Notice he had fame. Notice he was doing a lot of good. He had a great purpose. Notice that people were thronging to him. We often look at famous people and say, you know, I wish I was like them. But can I say there's something missing? It's a relationship with God. There was something missing. Just, you know, Jesus Christ, he too had to have a relationship with God. He desired this. And people were thronging to him. And notice what he does in verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We find that in other places. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 41. We see him with the disciples. And he withdraws himself. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he withdraws himself further. He says, you stay here and pray. And he withdraws himself further to pray alone, that he might have and develop and continue to have this relational connection to the Father, God. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 18, we see Jesus needed a relationship with God. And it came to pass as he went alone, his disciples were with him. You know, see, he had to have a, even Jesus. We often, you know, Jesus is God, right? He was 100% God. He was 100% man. And so at his humanity, just like our humanity, desired and needed a relationship with God. And if he needed a relationship with God, can I tell you that we all, God has designed mankind to have a relationship with God, a relational connection. We're created this way. Do you have that connection? Do you have a relationship with God? If not, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we would have a relationship with God. That's the most important thing in life. We look for, you know, new shoes, new clothes, new cars, new whatever. But what you're really looking for, what we all really need the most important thing that we would ever find in this life would be a relationship with God. We need to get at the table, if you would, with God. We need to sit down at the table that we might have a relationship with God. You see, Jesus Christ, he did that. He went and got alone with God that he might be fed of God. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we need to know what the Bible says about how we can have a relationship with God. I'm just going to share one verse, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and it's verses 8 to 10, actually. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus Christ paid the price of our sins so that we could be justified, so that we could be just as if we never sinned or were a sinner. Jesus Christ came that we might be reconciled to God. The reason that Jesus Christ came is so that we could have a relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, that you might be reconciled, that you might have a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can have a relationship with God. It's the most important thing that you ever find in this life is a relationship with God. But not only that, Christian, are you connected? Child of God, do you have a relational connection to God? So not just the fact that we have a relationship with God, but are we connected to him? Are we, and continue, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. God requires that we have a continual relational connection to God. Let me tell you a story. It's not specific because it's happened more than once, okay? But I have my keys here, and these keys, you know, sometimes have a way of walking away. Do you ever have that problem? That sometimes that, you know, things can walk away. For a while there, my wife and I were sharing. I only had one key to my car, and we were sharing that key because the odd time she would take it or we would be switching cars or different things like that. And so I'd be looking for my key. And it's the only key we had because it was a $250 key to replace. And so I just never did it. Okay. I could never, you know, find myself to do it. And so though I wanted to, I never did. And so I'm looking around for my key. You drove the car. When did you drive the car? Okay. Is it in your purse? You know, looking in the purses. It's not in the purses. Okay. Oh, no. You drove it and looking all around. Well, maybe the kids grabbed it. Carter has a way of doing that sometimes, just grabbing things. And so maybe he grabbed it and, you know, where's the key? And you're getting to the point of you're ready to decree, you know, beheadings and, you know, where is the key? I hate losing things. You're looking for it right when I already need to go. I need to go 10 minutes ago, but I still have yet to find the key to my car. I have the car. That's not the problem. The problem is my connection to it, isn't it? I'm stuck without it, going absolutely nowhere. And can I say, Christian, without your connection to God, you are stuck going absolutely nowhere. Maybe you have a desire to go somewhere, but if you continually allow there to be no connection, you're going nowhere. Amen. God is desiring to do a great work in your life. God is desiring to make things new in your life, but we have to have a connection. I'm not talking about salvation. We have a relationship. We're saved, but it's not a connected relationship. There's no power. We're going nowhere. So we need to continually get back and sit at the table with God that we might be renewed in our spirit. Get back at the table with God like Christ did, that we might be renewed and that we might find refreshment, that we might have victory as a child of God. We need to have victory. I'm going to ask Devin to come up and take a seat at my... I have these kids that got some lined up as illustrations helping me this morning. You sit at the table. So we're talking about the table. We're talking about we first need to have some table time with God. If we're gonna really see ourselves excel, if we're going to really see ourselves thrive as a Christian. I want to thrive. But we got to change our environment. Jesus Christ, what did he do? He went to the table a lot, didn't he? He had table time with God. Made sure he had table time with God. He made sure he got to places where he could be fed from God. But not only this. He also had table time with his brothers and sisters in Christ, didn't he? Quite often we see him sitting down with his brother. I got Devin up here. He's my brother in Christ. Now, he would take time with his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he was there to encourage them. He was there to laugh with them. He was there to cry with them. He took time with his brothers and his sisters, and you know what they did? I didn't bring any of this, Devin. I'm sorry. I should have shared. He would eat with them. Lots of time at the table, eating with his brothers and sisters in Christ, and all God's people said... As Baptists, we like that part. But folks, that's not the purpose. Food is not the purpose. You know what the purpose was? To build a relational connection with his brother and sister in Christ. That he might be able to encourage them. That he might be able to see them go forward in their ministry. That he might take the word of God with them and teach them something. Edifying a brother and sister. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. That was his purpose. And so quite often, we see him with his disciples. And they're eating. They're sitting around a table. Or he might see them with Mary and Martha. And Lazarus. You know, there's these people that God, Christ got together with. And it was so that he would thrive. But also trying to help others to thrive as well in their relationship with God. First, it was so important that he took time, table time with God, that he would receive, you know, what he needed from God. And then as he received something from God, what did he do with it? Let me tell you what God's been doing in my heart this week. Brother, I got to tell you, this is exciting. Can I share with you this? Some table time with his brothers and sisters in Christ. We see that in several different places. And you say, Pastor, I don't have time for that. We all have 24 hours. We all have the same amount of time. If we say, I don't have time, what we really need to say is I didn't make time. Is it important? Christ said it was important. He said, if you love me, you're going to have, if you love me, you're going to love the brethren, is what he says. If you've passed from death unto life, here's one of the ways you know this. You have a love for the brethren. If you're saved, one way, a mark of a believer, is you have a love for the brethren. God connected relationally with his brothers and sisters in Christ. Those he connected with those that had already trusted him. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to have our brothers and sisters over for coffee. Take them out for lunch. Whatever it might be. Who are we encouraging? Who are we praying for? That we're having some time, table time, or we're building a relationship. Connecting with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It can just be for fun and it can just be for laughs. But when they need us, we'll know. And we'll be there to encourage them. We'll be there to pray for them. And so Jesus Christ understood. Thanks, you can go sit down. He understood that he needed to get in some table time with the brothers and sisters in Christ. He understood that he needed to build up his followers, those that had already believed. That was important to him. Come on up. Now his mind. Sometimes I struggle with names. I set myself up. Curtis, I knew it just was coming. I look at him like, not Devin. Curtis, yeah, you come. You take a seat at the table. He's my next guy. You know that Jesus didn't always. He had table time with God. And he had table time with his brothers and sisters in Christ. But do you know who also he took table time with? Oh, and I did this backwards. I'm sorry. I asked them who they wanted to be this morning, and I got it messed up. So I apologize. Curtis wanted to be saved this morning, but unfortunately, he's going to be lost. Curtis, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? All right, so we're just pretending, okay? But he's representing our lost person. You know that Jesus took a lot of time at the table with the lost? He was building relational connections with the lost. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we're going to be able to witness to the lost, if we're going to be able to help the lost, Jesus went around and he did good, didn't he? He went around, he healed the sick, he raised those that were lame, those that had devils, he cast out the devils. If we're going to be able to help those that need the most help in this world, if we're going to be able to share the gospel effectively, we need to build. We need to build an environment just like Christ did, and he took time, and they would sit, and they would maybe be eating, or maybe he would be, but he definitely sat down and took time with the publicans and the sinners. And the Pharisees laughed at him and mocked him for it, but he said, that's okay, because I want to save that person. I love that person. I was reading this morning how even the publicans and sinners were flocking to him because he would accept them. Because he would love them. They weren't getting any love from the Pharisees or the religious crowd. So he took some time and he sat down and he just showed that he loved them. He showed that he cared them. He maybe would break some bread with them and have some fellowship. He'd laugh with them, but then he would tell them about how much God loved them and share Christ with them. Thanks, you can go sit down, Curtis. Folks, it's so important that we have table time. If we're going to thrive as a Christian, I'm going to thrive in 2018. I want God to be able to make all things new in our life. Jesus Christ found himself in this environment a lot, around the table, receiving what he needed to from God so that he might share it with others and that he might share his love and the gospel with the lost. Can I say secondly, if we're going to see God work in our lives, if we're going to allow God to make this and develop this new environment in our life, we also need to have some table time with God, but we also need to get into the text. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for. So God wrote all things, okay? And Jesus Christ was a man, and he needed some table time to eat, and he needed some table time with God. And, he had to be at the table, okay? We find him also in the synagogue reading from the text. He went into the synagogues and he read from the Word of God. Sometimes from the prophet Isaiah, speaking prophecy even about him, he would read the Word of God to the people. It was important that Jesus was found in the text. Can I say it's important that it's so important that if we're going to thrive as a Christian, that we need to get into the text. It's so important. This is one of the way God feeds us. This is one of the way we have table time with God, is getting into the text. Another way we have table time with God is in prayer. But folks, the text is so important. How can we know what God's will is for us if we don't get into his word? He tells us so much of what his will is for us, and we're wondering, get into the text. See what God has to say. Psalms 119, verse 105, familiar text for us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're like, I don't know which way to go. I don't know. Get into the text. It'll show you. It'll point you to the right direction. I say, it's not giving me the whole thing. That's fine. He'll give you enough to take the next step. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He'll show you exactly what it is. You know, the direction you need to go. He'll give you peace. You pray and ask, he'll show you. But you got to get into the text. You want to know God, you got to get into his word. It's so important. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You want to thrive? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want to have victory as a Christian. I don't want to continue to struggle with the same things over and over again. Where do we need to find ourselves? We need to find ourselves at the table. We need to find ourselves in the text. Jesus did. Amen. Jesus did. We need to get into his word. God's word changes lives. Is there any wonder that we're so worldly? This will be in tonight's message too, but is there any wonder why we're so worldly? Because so often we don't take the time to get into the text. I'm going to ask this tonight, and I'll ask it this morning. Maybe you won't be here tonight. Don't raise your hand. But who skipped out on their devotions this week? Who skipped out on their devotions this month? Don't say, I didn't have time. We make time for what's important. This is so important if we're going to thrive as a Christian. This is so important that we might know what God desires for us to do. Can I say that time, with God helps us to keep us from sin? Think about the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Times that we've neglected the Word of God has allowed the enemy and the land, that's whose land we live in. We don't live in God's land. We live in the world. but we're allowing him to come into our lives because we're not prepared to do God's will. And so we end up doing what the devil would have us to do. We fall into sin. We got to get into the text. We got to spend time with God. We need to be built up in our relationship with God. And the text is so important because it helps not only to build us up, but it shows us where there's sin in our life. It's like a mirror pointing. And as we desire, you say, God, speak to me. He'll speak to you. But be ready for that, because he's going to often show you something that, you know, this is sin in your life, that we might get right with him, that we might continue to change, that we might continue to see God work, that we might have all things new. We're not going to see the change that we desire. We're not going to see, have all things new in our life like we would like to, unless we get into the text and get, you know, in front of the table. And lastly, can I say that we find Jesus Christ also serving? Amen. He got out his towel. Often he went around. The Bible says the books could not contain all the good that Jesus Christ did. We don't know it all. We just have a little sliver and see how God healed the sick and raised the dead. And he just went around helping people. He just went around giving of his life for others that they might be saved. Can I tell you that's exactly what God desires every Christian to do? To give their life for others that people might be saved? That's going to mean that we need to pull up to the table with the lost, isn't it? That's what Christ did. He was at the table with the lost a lot. So far, I'm saddened. And even maybe I have thought this way as well. But we've segregated ourselves so much that we don't have any relationships with the lost. That's not the way God desired. God had desired that we would have a relationship with God, and that we'd be so connected with him that then when we go to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're building them up and helping them, that we might then go out and reach the lost. Bringing them into our table with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Or having table this time with them, that we might help them, that we might serve them, that they might see the love of Christ. Because that's what Jesus Christ did. He went around and served the lost. He went around and served his brothers and sisters in Christ. He went around with his towel, so to speak, and served others. We need to pick up the towel. God has a great work for us to do. But so many of us, instead of picking up the towel, want someone to wash our feet. We want someone else to serve. Lots of people, no one wants to serve, but everyone wants to be served. But Jesus Christ picked up the towel. I want to thrive as a Christian, don't you? You know how much you learn by picking up the towel? We learn humility. Christ humbled himself and became obedient to God, his Father. Folks, we might get at the table and we might be in the text, but you get out there and serve. Pick up the towel and God will teach you so many more things. Putting your faith into practice. Serving. Jesus Christ went around and served others. John 13 and verse 12 says, so after he had washed their feet, talking about the supper, the Last Supper, he washed the disciples' feet. And we could go on listing, and going to scripture about how Jesus served others. But I don't think it's necessary. He took up the towel and he went around. If it was a publican or sinner, he sat there with them. He helped them. He encouraged them. Why? That they might be saved. Was it brothers and sisters in Christ? If it was, those that were already saved, already followers of Christ, already believers, he picked up the towel and he served them. Why? Because he wanted to help and encourage them to do the same for others. He was wanting to be the Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect example. And you say, I want to be able to have you know, I want all things new in my life. I want to see, don't you want to have a greater year in 2018? Don't you want to see God do greater things in your life in 2018? Don't you want to see God move in our families and move in this church and that we would see God do great things? And I think God is going to do them. I really believe that. But we need to get in the environment that Jesus Christ was. We need to find ourselves in that right environment, that good environment. We need to get out of some of the environments that we find waste so much of our time in. We need to allow God to help develop this new environment where we find ourselves at the table with God. It's one of the most important things that we might have a relational connection with God. That requires we get into His Word. Pray. But not only that, if we'll do that, then we'll have the right relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Develop some table time where we encourage or we go out for coffee or we just have fun. That's good. And we need to do that with the lost as well. Why? That we might build a connection. That we might build a relationship. Not that they would tear us down. That's the fear, right? We're going to be... Well, if we have a relationship with God and our relationship is right with the brothers, you know, can I say that then we'll be able to have a relationship with the lost in the right way? Amen. That our desire is not anything else but to give them the gospel, that they may see Christ in us. Who's the name of your lost friends? Can you think of some? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your coworker. Okay, so you have some relationships that are lost. We need to develop those. Having them over. Taking time. Why? To help them. To serve them. Because that's what Jesus Christ desires to do to them. That's what I believe He desires that we would do. That they might see Christ and be saved. So after He had washed their feet. I like this and we'll be done. A scuba diver takes his environment with him. The scuba diver, he goes down into the water, but he still breathes air. The Bible says we're to be not of this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We need to take our environment with us. We need to take our God with us. We need to make sure that we're the example that Christ would have us to be. Jesus Christ was in this world, but He was nothing like any other man. That's exactly what He desires for each of us to be. Then we would be light in darkness. We would be salt. Different. Allowing Him to develop this new environment that we might serve Him in a greater way. Some table time. Get in the table. Sit at the table. Yes, you can eat some food. That's okay. But that's not the purpose. The most important thing is that we're fed spiritually. Amen. Getting into the text. I think this is something we all need to work on. Getting into the text. Getting into the text ourselves, being taught from the text. That could be from a book. That could be from, the preaching of the Word of God. That our knowledge of Him might grow. That we might be able to serve Him in a greater way. Pick up the towel. Let's pray.